I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. One day last year, Muhammad Jamal Quais left his home in suburban Virginia for a trip to Europe. Then last month, his parents were greeted at their doorstep with the news that their son had joined and defected from ISIS. Kurdish Peshmerga forces reportedly found him in Iraq and took him into custody. Here's Quais speaking on Kurdish TV last month.
I made a bad decision. I made a decision to go because I wasn't thinking straight.
Quais is a 26-year-old American of Palestinian descent, and if he returns to the U.S., his case raises questions about how the U.S. deals with ISIS defectors. One major question is, how do we know they're not actually still loyal to ISIS? I spoke about this with Anne Speckhart. She directs the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism.
I was just in Belgium and missed the explosions at the airport by an hour.
Wow.
So I'm glad I didn't go early to the airport. But I was interviewing parents of people that went to Syria, and one of them told me that her kid wants to return. He's a commander in ISIS, and he wants to return. He's married. He has a child there. But he's got to find a way to smuggle all three of them out, and it's not easy because they can't just pass as normal Syrians. They're Europeans. And I talked to police and counter-radicalization people there and said, I interviewed this woman and I'm really concerned about it. How can she get the help that she needs to help her son to come out? And, you know, what do you recommend? And one counter-radical official told me, be very careful, Anne, if you're helping her, because I helped in a case like that. The guy was calling me. We got him across the border into Turkey. He turned himself into the Belgian consulate. And it turned out that when they went through his phone and went through all his internet records and investigated him thoroughly, that he still was fully in ISIS and he was plotting against Belgium, and he had people back home that he was trying to organize to make an attack. I don't think that Muhammad Quais was dispatched, but, you know, it's not something that we should assume that it's not being done.
Give us a sense of how many Americans go and join ISIS. Do we have reliable data on that?
I think it's something like 400 or 500 have attempted.
Total, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty small number compared to per capita, where a small country like Belgium has 500 that have gone, 125 have returned. Half of them are on the streets. And one of them I just interviewed that had returned, he spent 5 weeks there. And he is still highly radicalized. And I thought, my God, what is he doing on the streets? And I do believe that we should intervene with people. But I think, you know, if you've given significant support and given your buyout to a terrorist group, you probably need to spend some time incarcerated.
Right. But I mean, talk a bit about how the U.S. is dealing with the case of Muhammad Jamal Quais, because it's a kind of, does he go to jail for joining ISIS, or do we get him involved in some way in the counter messaging against ISIS?
As far as I know, he's still in Kurdish hands. So the first thing is he going to be turned over to us? Second thing is, do we prosecute him, which I think that we definitely will. And I do believe that these cases should be prosecuted. But then, you know, you may want to offer some kind of a plea bargain or reduced sentencing in exchange for going out and speaking to the public. And we do have a precedent with that, with the Lackahanna Six. There is one of them that goes out speaking, but he always has an FBI agent at his side.
These were the guys who were arrested up around Lake Erie, if I'm memory serves.
And they went and joined Al-Qaeda and went to their training camp and also became disenchanted. And the one gives a very good talk about why he went in and that it wasn't a good choice.
And do we know if that's kind of inhibited kids from joining Al-Qaeda or ISIS?
Well, I would imagine that it would. I mean, the insider story of, you know, it didn't work out so good for me. And you see me presenting myself here with the FBI agent at my side, and I spent time behind bars, and, you know, that's no fun.
What about the parents or relatives of people who've become radicalized or are about to become radicalized? I mean, those parents are often in shock. They seem to feel really isolated because they've suddenly discovered this ne'er-do-well right in their own family. What help does the U.S. offer them?
We believe every city should have a hotline and every city should have a rapid intervention team, because most family members have a good idea that something's wrong, but they don't want to call law enforcement. And you can understand why they don't want to call the FBI, because they might be setting their son or daughter up for a sting operation or to spend time in prison, where what they really want is treatment. They want someone to come and say, you know, you got Islam all wrong. We understand that this extremist group is meeting your needs. Can we redirect you to other things that will meet your needs in a more useful way that won't be self-destructive to you?
Anne Speckhard is the director of the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism. Anne, thanks very much for your thoughts.
You're welcome, Marco.